like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Very good, Marty. We're back again for more fellowship concerning this excellent brother, A.B. Simpson.
That's right. In the A.B. Simpson we saw last time, he was a writer of about 70 books. He wrote many poems and hymns, and we found out he's known for his fourfold gospel. He really presented Christ in these four aspects as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our glorious Lord and coming King. And I think the more we read about Simpson, Bill, the more we find out that this was not just his message, but this was his experience. Of course, first he experienced Christ as his Savior, and we'll see today he began to know the Lord as his Sanctifier. And then later on, we'll touch the matter of how he got to know the Lord as his Healer. And then he was one really looking for the Lord's second coming. So, Brother A.B. Simpson, we found out last time, got saved at a young age.
Right.
He grew up in that strong, very strict, legal Presbyterian background.
Right.
And the Lord delivered him from the law and justified him. And that was had quite an impact on Simpson to begin to realize it's not by his works, not by his striving, but it's by grace that we are saved. And this really brought rest and peace to him. And then we saw a little bit how Simpson really began to grow very quickly as a new believer because he had such a hunger for the Word. And he began to trust the Lord during his college years, even for his financial supply. And that brings us to where we are today, Bill. We're coming to the time when Simpson completes his education. He was about at the age of 21, and he was at that Knox College in Toronto. I don't know if that was a Bible school or a Christian school, but it did strongly have a Christian influence. He was seeking to become a minister in the Presbyterian Church. And when he graduated, he was examined by the board, the Presbyterian board, and they checked out his character. And I thought it was interesting. They wanted to hear about his own spiritual experience and know the soundness of his own faith and to hear about how the Lord had called him. And, of course, eventually he made it through, or he passed, and he became a minister in the Presbyterian Church. Of course, today, you know, we're not for the clergy laity, but at that time, that was the path he took, at least initially. We know later on, he came out of that.
Right,
but,
right.
He did have that kind of background and that kind of a training. And now, at this point, he's beginning to learn how to serve. And that's what we want to begin to touch a little bit today in the life of our brother Simpson.
Yeah, I appreciate the review, Marty. Of course, he was a very educated person, so God could use that, like Paul.
Right.
Paul in the New Testament was much more educated than Peter, and of course, you can see all those 14 epistles of Paul, and Peter could only write two.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they were both quite used, but no doubt Paul was used much more than Peter, mainly because he was quite educated, quite learned. And he could bring the divine revelation to the saints at that time to a much higher degree than could Peter. And in a sense, A.B. Simpson was like this, very educated, very excellent English background. You could see that in the hymns that he wrote,
right,
in his use of English. He was almost quite gifted in the use of English in his hymns and his writings. And I appreciate, too, in that early age, after he finished his education, he wanted a challenge. He was not content to be like a pastor of a little tiny congregation.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted more pursuits than that. He opted for a very large congregation to challenge him much more, that his potential could be developed. I felt that was quite good. Of course, our potential does not mean to be developed for us to be a spiritual giant and a great part of Christianity. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, in principle, he wanted to be more useful and challenged, and we should have the same desire here in the Lord's recovery, that the Lord would increase our potential, increase our burden, to serve him, that we may grow in life and be more useful to the Lord in his recovery.
This is very interesting how he took the larger congregation to begin his service. He was one who was looking for a challenge. He wanted to grow and he wanted to develop in his function. So he began at a congregation in Hamilton, Ontario. That's in a location between Toronto and London, Ontario. And I thought it was also interesting, Bill, that Brother A.B. Simpson, he was a good speaker. And he's quite gifted, right? Even right from a young age.
That's
and
right.
Others began to recognize this, and he knew that the Lord had endowed him in this way. But he also was very much on guard, and I really appreciated he checked any pride that would come about that would cause damage to his service. And so you can really see, even from a young age, he began to serve the Lord with humility. In fact, there's an account that later on, when some fellow minister came to him and told him that it was through his ministry that he was so inspired, Simpson interrupted him and told him, "That's all very well," he said, "but tell me something about what Christ has done for you."
Right.
And so he was a little bit salty, but I thought,
yeah,
this Simpson was really on guard not to have any self-exaltation. And he wanted to be a lover of Christ and loyal to the Lord. And, of course, at this time also, Brother Simpson got married. He was at a young age. He got married to a sister, Margaret, and she was known as Maggie, and they became life companions and husband and wife, and she was very loyal and loving, but apparently she was not always very understanding or sympathetic
right.
to Albert's aspirations. And they together had six children. They had a pretty good-sized family.
Right.
And in their biography, it records that later on, she did become a real help to her husband in his ministry. So this was some of the beginning dealings that A.B. Simpson had, you know, in that congregation. He labored. He really learned how to labor in the gospel and visitation. He was very faithful just to go visit the believers. And he raised up many different prayer groups among the congregation and brought a real spirit of giving among the saints to the missionary movement at that time. And so his congregation actually grew by 750 members in 8 years. That's quite significant, I thought.
That is very significant.
And so Simpson, not only the congregation grew, but he felt like he himself was really learning and beginning to grow in his own experience and through his travels. And he was really going on in a very good, healthy way in the Lord in this beginning 8 years of his service.
You know, from then, I think, Marty, we could say that the Lord was just leading him on with many people. They become content, you know, complacent, satisfied with their spiritual attainments. But something kept driving Simpson on.
Right.
And he ended up taking another pastorate in Louisville, Kentucky. No doubt that was a big transition to go from Canada to a large city in the United States, Louisville, Kentucky, and at a particular time in U.S. history that was marked by turmoil and war, the Civil War of 1861 to 1865. And no doubt, geographically speaking, if you look at Kentucky in the United States, it's almost right there, a border state there, you know, between the North and the South. And no doubt those Kentucky people probably were split right in half there, some for the North and some, you know, sympathetic to the South. So we think, well, though those are just unbelieving people, but I think we would be surprised that many, no doubt, of the believers, genuine Christian believers, they were caught up in that thing. So they probably were very, very much caught up in their denominations. No doubt they probably had Northern Baptists, Southern Baptists, or they probably had different signs up there in their congregation. You know, we're a Baptist church, but we're sympathetic to the North, and other Baptist churches may have had signs sympathetic to the South. So this, no doubt, was probably a real problem for A.B. Simpson about how to handle that congregation there. But I think in being a somewhat of a neutral person in Canada, I think that helped him, that he did not side with anyone. He just sided with Christ. I'm not for the south, I'm the south, I'm not for the north, I'm for Christ. No doubt, he probably rendered a lot of help there on the spiritual side to bring people out of the realm of the war, right, wrong, slavery, non-slavery, abolitionist, non-abolitionist. He probably got them out of that and brought them more and more into Christ. That was quite good. And, of course, I think probably about this time in that new congregation, you know, he saw something, began to see something of, you know, Matthew chapter 17, you know, after you know, the Lord took Peter and those ones up there on the mountain of transfiguration, and all of a sudden the Moses and Elijah disappeared and it was just Jesus only. And so he began, no doubt, to share to the congregation that my new message to you is Jesus only, not anything else, not doctrine, not teaching, not raising up a large congregation, but just Jesus only.
Well, this became his motto or his keynote of his service, and apparently it was his first message to this congregation. And I understand that he realized if these believers even started talking, they would no doubt end up bristling and getting into some argument. And so Simpson said he only wanted to preach Christ and minister Christ, and so that's where he came up with this motto, Jesus only. And not only in that message, but apparently through his service the whole time there in Louisville, he just really brought the congregation to focus on Christ. Well, when he was doing this, he not only was concerned about his own congregation, but apparently he tried to get the leaders or the pastors from these other congregations to come together and reconcile.
Right.
And to what they said, to end the civil war in their hearts.
Yeah.
And to stop the further arguing and, you know, even the, you know, get down to the business of winning men to Christ. So Simpson brought these brothers together and he encouraged them just to kneel down and pray together. And apparently most all of them were agreeable to do that.
Right.
And it really issued in a real sweetness among them and a reconciliation. And then they, out of that, they began to have a burden for the gospel, for people.
Mm-hmm.
So they invited this brother. His name was Major Daniel Whittle. And from my reading, I understand that he was an evangelist and an associate of D.L. Moody.
Right.
And it's interesting, Bill, that you check the years of Moody's life and the life of A.B. Simpson, and they are very close. Actually, they were contemporaries.
Right.
Moody was only born 6 years before Simpson. And we know that, you know, having covered the life of Moody, he went down to the front lines of the Civil War.
Right.
You know, during that time. And now here's Simpson. He's basically on the, like you mentioned, he's on the border of the North and the South, and he's still dealing with this
yeah.
problem.
Civil War issue, yeah.
So now we got, they invite this brother Whittle, and Simpson apparently got a lot of help just hearing this brother speak, and not just his message, but A.B. Simpson said the fellowship and the contact with this brother really opened his eyes to begin to see the unbelievers as real objects of the Lord's love. And it caused him to really reconsider all his dignified church services and all the forms and activities and rules and regulations and all those things that they were involved with in the Presbyterian church. And you know, like we are learning still, Simpson at that time began to be focused on people.
Right.
And I think that when I read this, I was touched that, wow, this is something we are all still learning today, not to be focused on are the meetings good, you know, and all these outward things, but are we focused on people? And that's what really was a major turn in A.B. Simpson when he became more and more burdened for the gospel this way.
I think, like you're saying, Marty, he began to realize that instead of just taking care of believers in a congregation, what about all the tens of thousands of the unbelievers that were not even saved? So I think he began to realize that all of these unbelieving sinners are also the objects of God's love, not just building up a congregation and forget about the unbeliever or the unsaved. So he began to realize, hey, we need to pay a lot more attention in an evangelistic way. And no doubt he really became got help from by Major Whittle and some others. He read some books by W.E. Boardman on the higher Christian life. And then he himself began to become very, very, bothered by his own spirituality and not some probably so much having a love and care for people to get people saved. But more and more he began to realize he got into that evangelistic way.
Well, I think it's interesting, Bill, that it was out of this burden for people and out of this burden for the gospel that the Lord could begin to shine on him and begin to expose him. And this is something that we've heard a lot in our practice of preaching the gospel and going forth to people, that when we do that, quite often we begin to realize maybe we're somewhat self-absorbed, like Simpson was. And we need the Lord's dealing. So Simpson came to the Lord and really opened up to the Lord in a very personal way, and the Lord began to touch him. And he began to realize something of the work of the cross. And he also began to realize the one who justified him, Simpson said, was also willing to sanctify him through the Holy Spirit. And this really he really began to touch the Lord in this way. And of course we know we have some hymns of Simpson's that are so sweet along this line. We have that one, "Oh, it is so sweet to die with Christ to the world and to the self and sin, and it is so sweet to live with Christ as he lives and reigns within." So you have to say, Simpson here is kind of going on to the second aspect of his gospel, was not only to know the Lord as the Savior, but here to see he's beginning to touch the Lord as his sanctifier, the one who could begin to really live in him and reign in him. And he said sanctification was not just a state, but was a person. It was Christ himself. And so he did have the experience where he was trying to hold on to a feeling of sanctification or a blessing, but eventually, through experience and time after time, Simpson testified that he began to treasure Christ himself as the secret of his sufficiency. So I think A.B. Simpson, we could probably spend days on this particular aspect. He really got to know the Lord in an inward, very rich, sweet way.
Of course, later in his hymns, he wrote hymns such as "Once It Was a Blessing." He was always after a kind of a maybe second blessing or that kind of thing that you wait for, or that only certain believers get. And then he says, "Now it's the Lord." It's not something from the Lord. It is the Lord himself. Then he says, once it was the feeling. Everything had to be a feeling. If it feels good, then that's of the Lord. Maybe if you had no feeling, well, maybe you shouldn't do it. And he went from the feeling to the word of God, something without feeling. And then he says, once his gift I wanted. In other words, the gift he wanted to, to no doubt acquire all the spiritual gifts, probably in 1 Corinthians, then he realized you're going to have those gifts and you miss the giver. And the Lord himself was the giver. He wanted the giver. He didn't want the gifts. Because if you have the giver, you've got the gifts, right? And if you have the Lord, you've got all the blessings. So the real blessing is the Lord Jesus himself. Then lastly, once I sought for healing, he sought for the divine healing, no doubt miraculous healing. And then he realized, you can have the miraculous healing, but still, you are still very weak and maybe soulish fleshly, a believer. You have the divine healing. You have the miraculous healing. But yet your enjoyment and experience of Christ is still so little. So he said, once I sought for healing, now himself alone.
Well, Simpson's experience was very rich. Again, it was beginning to know Christ within as his life, his life supply, his experience, his blessing. And he was also becoming more and more active in the gospel. And he worked together with others in the city of Kentucky. I think even after this Major Whittle left, they still were burdened to reach out. But in the process, he found that others were not so willing to go along.
Right.
And eventually he began to experience some rejection.
Right.
And even some persecution. And I thought this was also a real learning, and that is, if we're really pursuing after Christ and beginning to know him and enjoy him and also become very active in bringing others to Christ, what's the result or what's going to follow is persecution. And this is exactly what happened to A.B. Simpson. You know, that Paul told us that all who really desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted.
Right.
And A.B. Simpson was one who has gone before us, and he really testifies of this. So Simpson was involved in preaching the gospel, in visiting saints, and in enjoying Christ in his own prayer life. And he pursued in this way. At the same time, he was suffering some persecution. Well, Bill, I think maybe we ought to stop here. I know the next section we're going to go on to his, once again, he transitions and goes to another city, a larger city, to,
right.
Actually, he goes on to New York City.
New York City, right. That's a big one. The Big Apple.
So I think we'll cover that section next time. But anyway, I think we can begin to really taste something of Simpson's experience. And just let me read you one quote here in the closing. He said, Simpson said, he declared, I found him when I took him by faith and went forward to use him and turn my blessing into a blessing for someone else. This was his experience when he was really seeking the Lord, and he spent a lot of time to pray, and then he was not really brought into the full enjoyment, and then the Lord told him, go forth to others.
Yeah.
And when he did that, he really found Christ. And I think this is really a good learning, especially for all the young people, all the college students and the high schoolers, that we need to experience Christ in the meetings and in our daily life, but we also need to go forth like our brother A.B. Simpson did, and we'll really find Christ as we minister him to others.
Very good. It's a lot of lessons here for us to learn, but of course we have to learn them all in the atmosphere of the proper church life. No doubt A.B. Simpson did not have that, Marty, but still we can gain some help from his personal life and so on, and from his challenges and from his zeal for the gospel.
All right, Bill, I guess we'll sign off here, and we'll tune in again next time. We encourage all the listeners to tune in when we go on to New York City with our brother A.B. Simpson. All right, Bill, thank you.